Catfish Radio, episode 28.
You're listening to Learn to Catch Catfish, Catfishing Radio, with your host, professional guide, Chad Ferguson. Catfishing Radio covers tips, tricks, and information to help you learn how to catch more and bigger catfish on your next fishing trip. The ultimate resource available for expert catfishing information. After listening, make sure you visit learntocatchcatfish.com. Now, here's your host, Chad Ferguson.
Hey, this is Chad Ferguson, learntocatchcatfish.com. You're listening to Catfishing Radio. This is, again, Catfishing Radio, episode 28. Catfishing Radio is the podcast radio show dedicated to the sport of fishing for catfish. Whether you fish for blues, channels, or flatheads, fish in lakes, rivers, streams, or ponds, our goal is to provide you with the information that you need to be more successful on your next fishing trip. Catfish Radio is a production of LearnToCatchCatfish.com, and the Catfish Radio podcast is certainly a small portion of the information that we provide, so make sure you head over to LearnToCatchCatfish.com. Check out all the great articles, videos, and other information there available on the Learn to Catch Catfish website. I want to thank everybody again that has taken the time to go over to iTunes, write us a review, and leave us a quick star rating. Past 100 positive reviews there on iTunes, and they continue to pour in. Had recent reviews. Want to thank these folks: Cherry Circle, J Van Sickle 84, Keith BC 98, Hog Wilder, Fly Ball OKC, and Some Fish 1990. All took the time to go over there to iTunes here the last few weeks and leave us a quick review. And if you have not done so already and would take the time to do so, I would certainly appreciate you taking the time to go over there to iTunes, subscribe to the podcast, leave us a star rating, write a quick review, and let everybody else know that you like the Catfish Radio podcast, because it gets us more exposure within iTunes. And again, the more people we have listening to the Catfish Radio show, the more we will be able to do with the Catfish Radio podcast in the future. The channel catfish are absolutely on fire here in North Texas. I mean, we have just been slaying the fish. Just wearing them out. So much fun, man, just catching those huge numbers of channel cat and some of the techniques that we've been using this time of year. I mean, it's just, God, it's just such fun fishing. I've had such a blast, and been shooting a lot of videos lately, stockpiling some footage for some future projects, and like I said, just wearing those channel catfish out, man. If you have not done so already, make sure you head over and check out that Summer Channel Catfish Techniques program, summerchannelcatfish.com, or you just go over to the Learn to Catch Catfish website. Look over on the right-hand side. You'll see a little link for that. That is an in-depth guide on exactly how I go about locating and catching channel catfish this time of year in huge numbers. There's no secrets. There's nothing held back. Everything you need to know to go out and be successful on the water this time of year is right there in that book. We're fishing with that Secret Channel Catfish Rig that you can find on the website as well, secretcatfishrig.com, or on the main page of the website. And fishing those techniques in that Summer Channel Catfish Techniques book with that Secret Channel Catfish Rig, using sudden impact fiber bait from Team Catfish, and just whacking and stacking those channel catfish one right after another. Had some mornings where we've caught 150 plus fish in a 4-hour morning, and it just continues to get better, and that bite will hold out here through the summer. Want to thank Team Catfish for being a sponsor of Catfishing Radio. You can go check out Sudden Impact Fiber Bait, Secret 7 Catfish Bait, all those great products that Jeff has over there on his site. He has some awesome hooks, rods, fishing line, everything that you need for fishing for catfish. And also Brute Outdoors, brooteoutdoors.com, home of the 5-day fishing cooler. And man, I continue to be impressed with my BrutBox cooler. You can use the coupon code CATCHCATFISH, C-A-T-C-H, I do that every time, C-A-T-C-H-C-A-T-F-I-S-H, CATCHCATFISH, all one word. Use that coupon code at checkout, $25 off any cooler on the Brute Outdoors website. And Jeremy just told me the other day that he has a 12-pack drink cooler coming out in June. And I can't wait to see that. Can't wait to get my hands on one of those, man. Awesome products from those guys over there at Brute Outdoors. So last week, we launched the Learn to Catch Catfish community through the website. And ever since I started Learn to Catch Catfish, people have been asking me for a message forum. Chad, when are you going to do a message forum? Well, years ago, I had a message forum with a very, very large membership base at the website called WhiskerKitty.com, specific to Texas catfishing. And a number of things happened years ago, primarily being a pretty major issue with my health, and I had to let some things go. And that website was one of the things that I had to let go back at that time. So since I started Learn to Catch Catfish, people have been asking for a community, and it's been something that I have held off doing because I couldn't find the right platform that I was happy with. Well, several weeks ago, I finally found a software platform for a community that I was at least interested enough to play around with a little bit. So I got to messing around with it. I started letting some small groups of people in there to check it out and see what they thought about it. Got excellent feedback on that. And decided last week what I was working on. Everybody kind of figured it out and knew what was going on anyway. So I just decided that I would just go ahead and release that project and make it public for everybody to get into. So it is available and out there now. Now, this is not a message forum. I say it's the Learn to Catch Catfish community because it really is, it's not a forum. It is more of like a Facebook / MySpace social networking kind of site, but specifically for catfishing. This is all about fishing for catfish and Learn to Catch Catfish. There's a forum in there. There's groups in there that you can join. You can chat about catfishing. You can go in there and create a profile, share your pictures, all kinds of fun stuff in there that you can do within that community. So head over to community.learntocatchcatfish.com. That's community.learntocatchcatfish.com. Or just go in your web browser and type in catfish247. Catfish and the number 2, number 4, number 7.com. And it will take you there to the community site where you can sign up and check that out. Talk to other anglers about fishing for catfish. Share your pictures. Ask questions. Do a number of things like that. Now, before I go any further, I want to say that Learn to Catch Catfish is not going to become a community site where the message board and the features in this community portion of the website take over everything else that's going on. I am going to continue to do what I've been doing for the past 2.5 years. We'll continue to focus on articles, videos, on the podcast, and doing all the things that I have been doing because I feel like that's why I'm doing this project. I feel like that's what I do best, and I feel like that's what provides the most value to the sport of fishing for catfish and the people out there that are looking for more information. I will continue to participate in that community, but I guess I'm saying that because I want people to think that that community, the website, is not going to become community focused where everything else kind of goes to the wayside and I quit doing what I'm doing. I feel like that's my calling. I feel like that's what I'm best at. So I will continue to do the articles, videos, podcasts, all those other things here in the future. And the community really just more of an extension of the website because people have been asking for it. They want a place to go in and talk about catfishing. They want a place to ask questions, share their pictures, do all that kind of fun stuff. Now, in addition to those standard community features, there are some things that I'm going to be doing here in the not too distant future. You need to take the time to go over there and register at that community. It's kind of a whipping to register because you have to answer a couple of questions. Just takes a couple minutes. You have to verify your email address. I have some pretty stringent controls in there to keep the spammers at bay. But you need to make sure that you go over there and get registered, because I am going to do some things here in the coming weeks specifically for that community area that will not be available anywhere else on the website. Some of that will be cut podcast, possibly doing some live podcasts through the community with a live question and answer type format with myself, as well as some other guests. And also thinking about doing a couple of webinars or online seminars through that site as well on the community. And it's going to be one of those things that you have to be in there. You have to be registered to know about it, because I will send everybody the information through that community site so they can get signed up for these events. And when they're gone, they're gone. I'm not going to put them on the website. I'm not going to put them anywhere else. They will have to be accessed through the community real time for the members that were signed up when those events were held. So again, catfish247.com or community.learntocatchcatfish.com. Go over there, check it out, get signed up, and be ready for us to continue to improve things there and make things better for the visitors of the website. So with all that in mind, I've gone on much longer than I planned to, but I had so much to say, I needed to get all that off my chest. Have a guest on today's show, and this is a fascinating interview to me. We're going to talk trophy channel catfish today. Now, here in Texas and in most other parts of the United States, channel catfish, you know, you're going to go out, you're going to catch 1 to 3 pound fish, you know, maybe some 4, 5, 6 pound fish here and there. But our guest today catches monster channel catfish in what is, without a doubt, according to most experts, the premier trophy channel catfish fishery in the United States. The Red River of the North. Now, I'm not talking about that muddy river that runs on the border of Texas and Oklahoma. I'm talking about the Red River of the North that runs up along the border of the United States and Canada. Captain Brad Durick. Brad's a catfish guide. Fishes out of Grand Forks, North Dakota. And fishes on the Red River for trophy channel catfish. And the fish that Brad catches up there will just blow your mind. I mean, it monster channel catfish. And for those that don't know, I think pound for pound, channel catfish probably fight harder than all three species of catfish. And, you know, they really put up a tussle. And these fish, again, that Brad catches up here are so impressive. And I'm just kind of fascinated with that whole world up there and what he's doing and how he's catching them and these trophy channel catfish. So without any more hype, going to jump into the interview here with Captain Brad Durick, and then we'll come back and wrap up this show.
Well, today's guest on the Catfish Radio Podcast is Captain Brad Durick. Brad fishes up on the Red River of the North and catches just some amazing catfish up there, as well as fishes for some other species of fish as well. We're going to talk today about some big river catfish and kind of what he's doing up there, and shine a light on a topic that I'm really fascinated about. Brad, how you doing today?
Real good. Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. Man, I'm so excited to talk to you. And you know, you fish on the Red River, correct?
Yep, that's right.
And for a lot of people, at least down my way, when you say Red River, they think of this big, muddy, shallow river that runs between Texas and Oklahoma. And you're gosh knows how many miles north up on the northern border of the United States and have some just monster channel catfish up there. And I think I would venture to say probably some of the best channel catfishing in the world as far as size goes. So I guess let's start off and tell us just a little bit kind of about where you are, where you fish, and just kind of the general area so people can get a sense of what we're talking about.
Well, I'm located in Grand Forks, North Dakota, which is kind of the middle of the Red River stretch. The Red is actually 535 miles of river that runs along the North Dakota-Minnesota border. The river is actually the border, and then it eventually runs into Manitoba, Canada, and then dumps into Lake Winnipeg and makes its way up and through into the Atlantic Ocean eventually.
And I know you said earlier that you have to have a Coast Guard license. Being a guide, so what kind of boats are you guys running up there? Are you just running like normal lake boats, or do you have to have shallow water boats to navigate, or how does that work?
Well, we've been in a wet cycle, so pretty much any boat you want to run works fine. One of the guides that works with me runs a 17-foot walleye boat. One runs a 22-foot pontoon. This year appears we're going to have some low water, and I happen to get lucky and get prepared. I'm actually running a 19-foot G3 with a tunnel hull, so I can go deep water or shallow water now this year with my rig.
Nice. And then for those that don't know, we've never talked about this on the show, but the difference between a tunnel hull boat and a traditional boat is a tunnel hull has basically a channel that runs down the bottom of the hull, and the motor is traditionally offset a little bit higher, and it allows it to run in shallower water. And so let's talk a little bit, Brad, about just kind of what you do. I know you primarily target channel catfish. Is that correct?
Yep, that's what we have. We don't have any flatheads or any blues up here, just channels.
But I think from the pictures I see, the channel catfish make up for not having the others about tenfold.
Yeah, we are very, very lucky to live where we live and have what we have here in terms of channel cats. I think a lot of locals take that for granted, and I believe at some points I do as well, but we are very, very fortunate to live here and have what we have.
Yeah, I mean, the pictures on your website are just, it's baffling to me that there are even channel catfish out there like that, because I could tell you, you know, I can go out this afternoon and can catch 150 channel catfish in the afternoon this time of year. And if I have a dozen that break 3 or 4 pounds, I'm really doing something. You know, most of them are going to be 16 to about 19 inches. And, you know, I think the biggest one I've ever caught was 19 pounds on a trot line years ago, and I've never even become even remotely close to that ever again. You know, and you just don't see them. So the average size of these fish, I mean, you've got some fish on here that just look huge. I mean, what's the average size that you guys are catching?
Well, you know, every year is different. Every flood cycle is different and whatever. But if I had to average it out over the course of the last 5 years, I would say probably 28 inches.
Wow. And as far as pounds go, I mean, what are we talking about with those?
8 or 9.
Wow.
You know, last night I went out and checked a spot. I had a couple hours, didn't have a lot of time, but I had been watching water, and I just knew something was going to happen. I made a quick short run and went into a traditional spring spot, and we got 9 fish. The smallest was 24 inches last night.
And you've got some just monster fish on your website. what size do they have to get to for you to really get excited about them?
A picture usually won't make the website till it's 15 pounds or bigger.
Wow.
And, you know, I try to, some days are better than others. I try to only put one person, you know, per trip with one fish. So we've had multiple days, and I've got a guy up on last year's photos page, for example. We've got the same fish on there twice because it kicked when I snapped the picture, and it's just a neat shot. But his personal best coming in was 2.5 pounds, and him and his friend at the end of the night landed 5 over 21 that night, and that was the best night of the year.
Wow. So do you traditionally fish days, you fish nights, you fish both? Does it depend? How does that work?
I'm primarily a day fisherman. I found a setup, and, you know, we're a little cooler up here, and we do have to play the temperature a little bit sometimes, but I've got a system of utilizing wood and utilizing holes and run patterns between where if you pull that anchor and move hard and fish very aggressively, I can catch just as many fish in the middle of the day as most people can at night.
Sure, sure.
And, you know, if we get really hot where, you know, water temps are in the high 70s and low 80s, yeah, it does shift to a more evening night bite, and we'll adjust schedules accordingly to make that work.
Okay. So what kind of gear are you running? Are you using heavy-duty rods? Are you using light tackle? How does that work?
I use an 8-foot medium rod. Some are medium heavy. I tend to like a softer tip, so a lot of them are a light, medium, heavy, or a medium. Most of them are Abu Garcia 6500s. Everybody's got them.
Yeah.
And 30-pound mono, and, you know, lower water season when you're not fighting as much current and needing as much setting power, a 5-aught hook. If we get a little more water or fish and tail races or something, we'll upgrade to an 8-aught hook. And 2 to 5 ounces of weight typically. Last year I never got below 4. So far this year I haven't got above 4. So you just got to adjust to conditions.
And that's all dictated by the current?
Everything's dictated by what the current's doing.
Okay. See, that's an unknown world to me.
I fish flow conditions ranging from 1,000 cubic feet per second to 20,000 cubic feet per second.
Wow.
And depending on the year, depending on the time of year, depending on rainfall. So we have to make the adjustments accordingly. And the last two years I've done extensive research on how to make those adjustments, and actually have come up with a whole new pattern for high water.
And you said a 5-aught hook, is that, do you use circle hooks, or what kind of hooks do you use?
You know what, I use a circle hook when I guide clients,
mm-hmm.
and sometimes when I'm by myself, but I still like the old J hook and setting the hook. I just love the feel of the pull and the cross in their eyes. There's just something about it. A lot of my customers are not avid cat fishermen and not very experienced. Some are, but, you know, there is a certain element of knowing how to feel the right time to set the hook. So by circle hooks, you just eliminate the guesswork.
Sure, sure. Well, so we kind of know what you're talking about as far as gear. Now, what do you use for bait?
We use a lot of white sucker. I use a lot of white sucker. They're natural to the rivers up here. They're more of a cold water fish than gold eyes and moon eyes. They're not a shad or a skipjack like you guys would use down south.
Uh-huh.
They look very similar, and they tend to be a little bit bigger. And we catch those and package them, and, you know, just like you guys do down south. And we also use frogs in the late summer and fall a lot. We have big frog migrations, especially in wet years. And in the springtime, the frogs are coming out of the mud and moving away. When they're active, the catfish will eat them. But more importantly, in the fall and late summer, as the young of the year frogs are moving back towards the waterways, they can become just a great bait and a great food source.
Do you fish those live or cut up, or how do you fish those?
Well, a lot of guys hook them on live. I have them live until I'm going to fish them, and then I kill them.
Huh.
And we have a mud bottom river, and a live frog can actually dig himself and your hook into the mud so the fish can't find it.
Wow.
So I actually kill them so they can't dig and get away.
And what about the bait fish? You fish live bait or you fish cut bait, or how do you do that?
Primarily cut bait. We do throw some live. Springtime especially, we'll hook some live. It tends to bring bigger fish in, bigger bait, bigger fish, more action, more aggressive.
Sure.
Primarily it's cut bait. And you know, we buy most of our suckers, and I use suckers more than anything. When you use a big live sucker, you're looking at $2 a bait versus, you know, cutting it and getting 5 baits out of it. So in a day, that can get expensive running the bait. But, you know, it depends on who you're fishing with and what your goals are. If you're going to sit all day and wait for a 25-pound channel cat, it's worth putting a big live sucker on for, because
sure,
nothing else is going to hit it. But let me tell you, when that one fish does, you'll know it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and no prepared baits at all.
I test them and play with them, but no.
Yeah.
No. I can say no.
Huh.
I'm always testing them and trying them. And,
sure.
You know, one day I think I'm going to get one to work, and I just don't have the faith in it. And, you know, it's like fishing anything else. If you're not comfortable with it, and you typically don't have the success with it.
Yeah, yeah, no, that's absolutely right. I mean, if you don't have confidence, it's not going to work. It doesn't matter what it is. But that's interesting. It's very interesting. Let's talk about, and I probably should have asked you this in the beginning, but I know with the weather up there and the water conditions and everything else, I know you're kind of limited in when you can fish. Let's talk a little bit about that and how that works and kind of what you do.
Well, our seasons are, we have winter here in North Dakota.
Yeah.
Contrary to belief after this last winter, but normally our catfish season, if in a normal winter, we'll have heavy snowfall. The river will be totally iced under, with the exception of under a couple of dams. And I've seen it as deep as 3 feet. Needless to say, it takes a little bit of melt time to get that off.
Sure.
This past winter, I think we had like 16 inches, so it didn't take long at all. If we get a quick warm-up, all that snow races, and we typically will get a major flood in March or April. And we have to wait for that to go through, wait for the thaw, and then, you know, you can sometimes get some cold water fishing, hitting the holes, hitting the shallow stuff. But the real action starts when water temp hits 50 degrees, which it just happened to do on Sunday this past week. And when that happens, that's our pre-spawn. Game on. And then from there, it's just the typical, any other river has it. You know, you wait for your 50s and your 60s, you hit the 70s and your spawn starts, and on up from there. And, the season follows itself, and we're usually winding down by middle of September. And I've found over the years it's just easier to shut the guide service down October 1st. Not saying they're not going still, but water temp plays such an important role that right around that October 1st, you could possibly see 10 to 15 degree water drops, temperature drops,
sure,
which will shut any catfish in the world off.
Yeah.
No matter how good you are, it stops it.
So that period, we'll say you're shutting down about October, and then as a general rule, when do you start fishing each year?
May 10th is kind of been the number over the years.
Yeah.
We've been fishing already for a month here, but it hasn't been fabulous, knock the lights out.
Sure.
So I'll be starting next week guiding with the first customer, so May 1st this year. Last year, they didn't even open the ramps because our flood was so bad. May 23rd was the first scout trip. May 24th was the first trip.
Hmm.
So this year will be the earliest start. Last year was the latest start.
Yeah. So what do you do with your time when you can't fish?
Well, I still have a job. When you only have a 4 or 5 month season to fish, you got to have a job to pay the bills the other half of the year.
Sure.
In the off season, I spend a lot of time going to sports shows. I've been doing a lot of writing the last 2 years.
Yeah.
And the last 2 winters, I've been doing extensive river research, studying how the river flow affects the patterns, how to make the pattern adjustments based on the flows. The big one now has been figuring the patterns out and how they're making their adjustments to water temperature.
Sure.
You know, everybody knows around 50 and 60, you got to pre-spawn. Around 70, you spawn. Depending what it does and how everything goes, spawn could be 1 week to 3 weeks, or, and then you got your post-spawn and your summer pattern and your fall pattern. Well, what I've been finding is little ways where if you get a storm system that drops water temp, say, 3 degrees, it might move them from a faster run to the middle of the hole.
Hmm.
It might determine, instead of sitting on a spot for 20 minutes, that water temperature might have dropped metabolism just enough that you got to sit in that snag pile for 40 minutes and, you know, let the bait do its thing a little longer. That's what I've been working on the last winter, this past winter.
Yeah.
And, that's all in the theory stage now. The high water, low water flow levels, I've pretty much got that one licked, especially in terms of high water. And now I'm working on temperature. And then the next stage for me is I got to get on the road and try it in some other rivers just to see if I'm right.
Sure.
So and there's never nothing going on in my world.
Yeah, yeah. So you fish just there on the red, or do you have other bodies of water that you fish as well?
There's a couple tribs that I work, and then, you know, we're in walleye country up here, so we've got lakes all over the place full of walleyes. And I do not work walleyes, but I very much enjoy catching them.
Sure.
Well, I like catching any fish, I guess, so.
Yeah, we've got a little lake down here that, very small lake that, they just stocked with walleyes, and, they're doing kind of a little experimental deal, and, it's a kayak only deal. And I've never caught a walleye. I've really been kind of considering getting my hands on a kayak and going out there and giving it a try just so I could say I could do it. But,
well, being a cat man, I'll tell you right now, you're going to be disappointed.
Yeah.
Walleyes eat well. They do not fight.
Well, yeah, we'll see. Maybe I'll give it a try. The hard part's finding a kayak that'll hold me. I'm about 6'8 and weigh about 230 pounds, so I haven't found a jumbo-sized kayak yet.
Yeah, keep looking. They make something for everybody.
Sure. So let's talk a little bit about I know, obviously, I mean, you spent a lot of time on the river. You've been fishing for a number of years. You've been guiding for a number of years. And, you know, through that process, you begin to develop the holes and the different places to go and all those kind of things. Primarily based on intuition and knowing the locations? Are you going in and running sonar and marking fish and then fishing, or how does that work?
Well, you know, with all the fluctuations, we've been seeing the last 2 years, you know, from week to week, we can have 5 foot vertical fluctuation in river level. And last year I spent most of the summer just under flood stage, which I'd never done before. And it's kind of funny. It used to be run the depth finder, find the hole, find the snag pile, which kind of evolved into, you know, the beauty of technology. Side imaging, well, everybody's going to fish the visible snag pile, so I'll side image between my spots and try to find the one that's under the water, or the rock pile that's under the water, you know, the ones that nobody can see that they have to work for.
Sure.
Which, with all the higher water, it's kind of funny, has actually gone back the other way, where electronics means so much and can teach you so much, but it's actually now gone the other way, where I spend more time looking at the water.
Yeah.
Okay, there's a seam. Now that seam has a boil. It's on an outside curve. Oh, water's high. Anchor's not going to stick. Fish probably aren't going to be there. Let's look across, type of stuff. You know, watch the water. What's the water doing? How are the seams operating? And then just zip by with the side imager and see what you're actually seeing on the surface.
Sure.
And I've been saying that in my seminars this last year too. And, you know, I kind of missed it, and I'll admit it. Everybody in this day and age, you know, puts so much effort into electronics. I tell you what, if you learn the old way of looking at what the water's doing, the water tells you the story.
Sure.
And you can fish so much faster and find new spots so much quicker that way. And then utilize your electronics as that secondary to prove what you think you see.
Sure.
And quickly find the structure you want. When we started fishing that flood stage last year, we had never done it before. I had to relearn the entire river with clients in the boat last year.
Yeah.
And the combination of learning to read the water and quickly utilize side imaging and sonar, and GPS didn't hurt either. It was, you know, people never knew half of the spots we were fishing and we'd never seen before.
Sure.
And, I'll preach that to the end now. If you can understand what the water's telling you, you're going to be that much better. And that's what I've been working this year. Although, you know, the spring as things get going and you're excited and want to get going and you're patterning out to what you know. Let's not, you know, kid ourselves. You're patterning out to what you know.
Yeah, you know, that sonar, you know, it's an amazing tool, but if you don't put it in the right place, it doesn't do any good at all. And, I think what you're saying is a valuable lesson, and, you know, just adjusting to those changing conditions and you probably have the extreme, or I would say do have the extreme from what we deal with, but you have to be able to adjust and rethink things based on, the water levels and the water temperatures and everything else. And, I went through the same thing this year. You know, we were going through a record drought and had lakes 10 foot lower than they had ever been in the past. And I kind of went into this winter fishing for the trophy bluecats thinking, okay, well, you know, we're going to have to do this and we're going to be looking at these areas and kind of had it all worked out and felt like I was mentally ready for what I was going to have to do. And then we got into the winter and it was January and I was fishing in shorts and t-shirts and the water was 15 or more degrees warmer than it's ever been any other winter I've been guiding. And then it just threw a whole nother complication to it to try to figure out what was going on and where they were and, you know, what was taking place. And, a guy can spend a lot of time second guessing himself doing those things, but kind of like you said, it's, you know, there's really no substitution for getting out there, looking at it, putting a bait in it and seeing what happens.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, you're talking about a lake, and I'll tell you right now, I'm as useless as it gets on a lake. I mean, you put me on a lake for a catfish, and I'll just kind of go, huh. But, you know, one of the things I found, and it's really paid off now, is I've kept very extensive records.
Sure.
And not just on what fish we're catching. And, you know, I could care less what direction the wind was that day. All I want to know is what the water temperature was and what the flows were.
Sure.
And with that, if I have that historical information based on the number of fish we caught that day, you can actually start seeing trending. That's really, really exciting. Last year we were seeing those big fluctuations. I actually had it down. When the river level gauges at 27 plus, you go to these spots. When it's between 25 and 26, you go to these spots. When it's 24, they may be where the 25s are, but they may be where the 22s are too. So you got to do a little searching. And as soon as you hit 23, get back to the middle of the channel and it's game on. And I actually had it charted that way. So as the fluctuations were going, I was able to make the adjustments without even going fishing.
Sure.
And it just sped up the process so much. And, of course, fishing's fishing, so some days you're wrong. But more often than not, we weren't wrong.
Yeah, yeah.
And last season is a perfect example locally. The day of going out and finding your favorite old fishing hole and throwing an anchor and sitting in it all day was not an option.
Sure.
Because you were probably either going to get run over by a cottonwood tree or you'd never get your bait to the bottom anyway if you could get your anchor to stick.
Because of the current.
Because of the flow.
Okay. What kind of anchors do you guys use?
Well, it's kind of funny. We use, it's actually a old homemade job we found with some old guides in Canada. And it looks somewhat similar to a Richter anchor.
Yeah.
Only it's not as stout on where the spikes stick in.
Sure.
We use a lighter spike. They weigh 16 pounds. We got them chained, so they're probably about 19 by the time you get the chains on them. And they lay down just like a Richter, let, you know, whatever amount of rope you need out. But the beauty of them is if they get stuck in a rock or stuck in a tree, you pull them up vertical, tie them to the eye of the boat, goose the boat, and the spikes bend out backwards.
Sure.
You step on them, reel them up, and bring them up, step on them, and go fishing.
You anchor nose into the current, I assume.
Nose into the current. We actually cleat the front of the boat. So you have a tie-off cleat exactly on the front point of the boat.
Sure. And then do you leave the back loose, or do you anchor the back, or how does that work?
Well, if we're not fighting an upcurrent wind, you know, our river does flow north, and we predominantly have northwest winds. So if we're fighting wind, we have to anchor the back as well, or get a drift sock or something into the current to stay straight. But
sure.
If you have a south wind or no wind, and you hit the current seam just right when you drop the anchor, you'll stay perfectly straight all the time. And then I run a 6-line spread right off the back of the boat.
It's pretty fascinating. I'm just trying to wrap my head around it. There's just so many things that I'm not used to. It's interesting. I'm going to have to find my way up there one of these days. I've never been north of the Mason-Dixon, but one of these days I'm going to have to find my way up there and do some fishing.
It's you know, it's everything we do is pretty simple. I mean, pretty much anybody can do what we do. What you know, where I take my pride is I've gone the extra step to understand where the fish are moving, to try to stay on better numbers and bigger fish all the time.
Sure.
But that's my job, just like it's your job. But, you know, as far as the anchoring stuff, that's pretty minor stuff when you figure it out.
Sure.
And you know, bait placement. You know, one thing I do not do is let customers cast.
Yeah.
The reason is when I get into a spot, I know exactly where I want every bait to sit.
Yeah.
And, you know, you can cast all you want. You might catch a fish, but I know exactly where I want every bait to sit, according to the current, according to the structure.
Sure.
And that helps success, too. I mean, there's that much precision involved.
So if you had to tell a guy, Brad, that is new to this world, he's new to catfishing, you know, maybe getting out on a big river, whether it be up there or wherever, and, you know, he's just kind of go out and get his feet wet. I know going out and hiring a guide is the quickest path to learning all the basics and, you know, kind of getting the nuts and bolts down so you can start to figure it out. But if you had to give a guy like that a piece of advice to kind of go out and get started, what would you tell him?
I actually cover this in my seminar. The first thing I'm going to say, if you want to do this and you want to do it seriously, is go buy the old In Fisherman Catfish Fever book, the green one, and read it cover to cover. And then get your boat in the water, do the basics. You know, you don't have to follow all the rigs and everything they say. Well, you know, just do a basic inline rig of some sort. Get yourself some bait. And I always tell them, find yourself a hole if you got a depth finder, or find yourself a nice tree pile that's about a third of the way from the bank. Anchor up in front of it and cast as close as you can. Be comfortable, but still be, you know, ready to lose some gear because you're fishing near wood. Because there's
sure.
By the wood and there's in the wood, and the catfish are in the wood, so should you. And, you know, I tell them, go fishing, put your hours in. You know, try different things, try different spots. Just put your time in, and then go back and read the book again.
Sure.
I think you can learn so much more faster on your own doing it that way than any other way.
Sure. Well, I know you've got a million things going on out there. You've got the guide trips that you run. I know you do the seminars. I know, just kind of digging around on Facebook, that you've got some shows that you've done with G3. I would assume, are the shows still running and are out there for people to see, or is there some place people can get their hands on those and kind of watch those and see what you're doing?
Well, the G3 Sportsman one, I believe, has taken its season's run.
Okay.
I can't say whether they're going to run it again or not, but they're on Sportsman's Channel every week. So I can't speak for that one. I guess I haven't asked, and I don't know. We just had an In Fisherman segment go here a couple weeks ago, and I'm thinking, according to what they told me in their rotation, that should be coming on again in July.
Okay.
On In Fisherman TV. And that's more of a fall time segment anyway, so it'll be more timely when it runs next time.
Sure.
But if you want to see some of the stuff that I've done, I've done a Jason Mitchell Outdoor show, which is a regional show up here, but it was some great fishing. And you can actually go to jasonmitchelloutdoors.com and download that one.
Oh, okay.
And I've also done Catfish in America 2 or 3 times. And I know some of the videos we've done are on Amazon. I know some of them are on My Outdoors TV for download. Or, you know, just do some searches on Catfish in America and my name, and they should pop up, because we've done a few different shows and a couple DVDs.
Well, we'll see if we can dig those up and put some links in the show notes to this show's.
I can email you the link for the Jason Mitchell episode, which is a pretty cool segment, and you can just post that, because I have the link for that on my computer.
Yeah, that would be great if you want to send that over to me, and I'll put it out there for people to share or for people to see. And then the website for your guide service is, what's the address?
RedRiverCatfish.com.
RedRiverCatfish.com. And
it's simpler than that.
Yeah, no, that's pretty good. And then what about your phone number, Brad?
701-739-5808. Email is just braddurek@gmail.com. But once you get to the website on the contact page, all of that is there.
Okay. Well,
there's even a handy little fill it out form that will send it right to my email if you want, right there.
Okay. Well, I'll get that all put in there for everybody to reference as well. So if they're coming up your way or they live up that way, certainly can give you a call and look at getting out on the river and catching some of these monster channel cat. And I know you do the seminars as well. Are you still doing that? You want to put some information out there about that as well?
Well, we're done for the year now. But,
okay.
I've got a seminar package that I've now done it 2 times. It's called Catfish University. There's actually a catfishuniversity.com is up right now. Talks a little bit about it. It's actually a 3 to 3.5 hour seminar, and it starts right at the beginning with going to the store and going shopping for your gear.
Sure.
And it moves all the way up to some of the stuff I talked about, water temperature and flows, and it can be very Red River specific, and it can be very generalized as well. I've actually got it together both ways, so.
Sure.
But it's a real intense river fishing for channel cats seminar, and I do it around North Dakota, and it's been done in Nebraska before. And then I've got some shorter ones I do too, depending on the crowd. You know, I've got some advanced ones, I've got some very basic ones, and
sure.
One I did this last year, rewrote this last year, is about 1.5 hours long, and it's just called Catching Catfish.
Sure.
And when you get done, you should be able to pretty much go to any river and catch a catfish.
Yeah, that, man, I tell you what, it's great information, and it's like I said, and I'm so impressed with what you guys are doing up there and these fish that you're catching. It's just, you know, everybody listen to this has got to go over to Brad's guide website, redrivercatfish.com, and check out the pictures of these channel cat and, you know, catch up with him on Facebook. He's got this Facebook page for his guide service as well, and he's putting pictures up there. And, I mean, if you want to see big channel catfish, then this is the place to go, period, in a discussion. I mean, Brad has got them pinned down and just got some amazing pictures out there of these big fish. It's pretty hard to beat. I know you got to pay the bills, Brad, before we go. I don't want to tie you up any longer. I know you got things to do. Any sponsors out there you want to plug, products you want to talk about, anything like that before we go?
Well, I always say, as I mentioned already once, you know, G3 is a great boat. I run a G3, brand spank a new 2012 this year, in fact. In fact, I haven't even got everything dialed in on it yet. It's so new. Of course, we always use Frable Nets, and that's the main sponsors right now. I mean, we've got lots of friends in the industry that we hang out with, and we use their products. But I'm pretty honest when it comes to products. If I mention it, I love it. And if I don't, I reserve the right to say what I want to say.
Sure. That's how it's got to be. Well, Brad, thank you so much again for the time today. Again, just some amazing information. I definitely learned a lot, and I know others out there will as well. The website, again, redrivercatfish.com. And give us that phone number one more time.
701-739-5808.
All right. Well, thanks again, Brad. I appreciate it. We'll hopefully talk to you again soon.
All right. Thanks for having me.
So, again, that was Captain Brad Durick, Red River of the North, Trophy Channel Catfish. Go over there. Check out Brad's website, man. He's got some awesome fish there on his site. Monster Channel Catfish. Not very many places in the country that they grow them like that, especially in the numbers that they're available in up there on the Red River. And Brad's just a wealth of information, man. He's got that river figured out and knows how to pattern those fish, and really just a wealth of information. I really enjoyed talking to him. I've said many, many times before, I am not a big river fisherman. We don't have them here in North Texas, and that is a world that I've never delved into and don't understand. And I really enjoy, you know, talking to guys like Brad and kind of learning what they do and hearing some of the differences between the way those guys fish up there in these big rivers with heavy current compared to the kind of fishing I'm doing in lakes and reservoirs here in North Texas, or even the fishing that I'm doing in these shallow water rivers. So again, head over there, check out Brad's website. We have a bunch of other interviews coming up in the near future. Many of them I've already got recorded. I just need to get processed and produced and ready to put on the website. Going to be sharing some more Big River Catfish love. Going to talk about channel catfish. Got Jeff with Team Catfish coming back on to talk about some prepared bait fishing. And a number of other guys that are really blazing the trail for change in the catfishing industry, the catfishing sport, and just really setting the world on fire out there, doing a lot of really great things. And we want to share their story and share the information with you on what makes them successful and what makes them tick. Again, check out Team Catfish, teamcatfish.com, Brute Outdoors at bruteoutdoors.com. Coupon code CATCHCATFISH for $25 off any of those coolers on the Brute Outdoors website. And make sure you head over and check out the Summer Channel Catfish Techniques, summerchannelcatfish.com, and the Secret Channel Catfish Rig at secretcatfishrig.com. Again, those products that we sell through the website, the books and the information programs, are how we support the Catfishing Radio show. All the other things that we do on the website for free, we are able to do because of the proceeds from those books and videos and everything that we sell there on the website. So not only are you getting an awesome product to help you with your quest to go out and catch fish, but you're supporting the website and paying the piper, so to speak, to help us continue to do all these other things that we do for free. Be sure, head over to community.learntocatchcatfish.com or catfish247.com. Sign up over there and be ready for that message that I send out. Again, going to do some live Q&A, no holes barred, straight on the mat podcast there on the website where we can answer catfishing questions for the member of the community. Going to have some guests on there on those live podcasts, as well as toying around with doing some online seminars or webinars to talk about some specific topics in regards to fishing for catfish that will only be available there through the community. Again, catfish247.com. Until next time, I want to say, get out there on the water next week and take a kid fishing. Whether it's one of your kids, if you don't have kids, find somebody else's kids and get the kids out there on the water. Get them out there in the outdoors and enjoying what we're doing and pass it on to the next generation. If we don't get these kids out there enjoying the outdoors, hunting, fishing, camping, doing all the things that everybody that listens to the Catfishing Radio Show does, then this is all going to die, and it's not going to go on for future generations. And the more and more time I spend around a lot of these kids that are the age of my children, the more concerned I get with that, because there's a lot of mom and dads out there that are not taking their kids out into the outdoors and teaching them this outdoor lifestyle. So get out there this week. Take a kid fishing. Until next time, Chad Ferguson, learntocatchcatfish.com.